people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles, it says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to just go all the way to the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go down Fairs another tier, and about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways, and so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line. There's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic, to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard.
Los Angeles! There's too many people! I want them to go away! Even though I think they're so free!
Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native LA. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
That's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The 605, the 101, the 101, the 101, the I-10, the 210, the 605, the 101, the 405, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The red light.
Welcome to the 82nd episode of Los Angeles Nista. I'm the creator, producer, and host of the show, Eddie Solis. And we're getting into some green, eco-friendly advocacy with our in-studio guests,
His name is Rob Greenfield. Rob, how are you doing, man?
Pleasure to be here. I'm really happy today to be in LA.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have you here. You know, we have a lot of lineage. You know, my music that I choose to create, and this show is about a car-free lifestyle. And you're an eco-advocate.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot that's not really eco-friendly these days. So I'm sure you have a lot on your plate.
It can be pretty hard, pretty challenging to live a earth-friendly lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm excited because you're so committed and devoted to the lifestyle. I wanted to articulate and draw a picture for the people listening live, and I will download this episode later. Exactly what do you advocate in the eco-friendly world?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. Really, to live an earth-friendly lifestyle, it doesn't come down to just what you're eating or what you're driving or what you're doing at home. It really comes down to a mindset and really starting to pay attention to how the things you do affect the people around you and affect the animals around you, both near and far. So really, it's kind of it's a lifestyle and it's a mindset. And you just start to realize how you affect the world.
Right. You know, I mean, reading your bio and everything you've already accomplished and how you choose to operate day by day, it's definitely a lifestyle, a commitment, and, you know, a mindset. Like you said, you're in your zone because there's so much out there that is very installed in the daily routine of humans, you know, that we don't realize affects people.
Yep.
Or animals or the earth. And it's a trickle down effect, isn't it? I mean, as far as you know, using certain things that are not eco-friendly.
Yep.
Now you've been car free.
Yeah. Well, I sold my car about a year and a half ago. And
how does it feel?
It's absolutely wonderful.
No registration, no insurance,
no
gassing up, no maintenance.
Yep.
You know, like if you're taking public transportation somewhere, you could like do a bunch of emails or text messages and kind of like keep the ball rolling.
Yep.
And not risk any danger.
So yeah, I took Amtrak up here from San Diego.
Okay. Surfliner.
Yep.
Awesome. Union Station.
Yeah. 3.5 miles from my house. So it's a 20-minute bike ride.
Okay.
Get to the train, hop on, you throw your bike right on the train, got your laptop, it's got Wi-Fi and even plugins, worked on stuff the whole way up, looked out the window, beautiful views, got here to Union Station, and then I just biked over to Venice Beach, and it was good. Life was good.
That's awesome. You know, I got here today I left out of Walnut, California by Pomona.
Okay.
And I have my Easy Pass. It's $84 a month. So $2.85 a day. Walnut is 30 miles away.
Wow.
So I came to two buses to Union Station and got on the red line and walked here. And I just feel like, you know, if I was driving today, I'd have to pay $12 in a lot next door.
$12.
Yeah, just to park.
Yep.
That's like a sandwich at Subway and two sandwiches.
Two. And if you think about it, what's the minimum wage here in Los Angeles?
I think it's like 10 now.
$10. So that would mean you'd have to work for 1 hour to park your car. So if you start to pay attention to the way you're spending your money.
The ratio, right?
Yep. And realize, okay, if I do this, that literally means I have to do this job for 2 hours that I might not even like at all. So I'm giving up my life for an hour to park my car somewhere. And so that's, again, the mindset, starting to pay attention and wake up to your actions and how they're affecting you and everyone else.
That's very zen. That's very in a lot of positive, I want to say, that's a good way to waking up and being coherent to those little things is being alive and living in the moment.
Yep.
Because a lot of people just park and go.
Yep.
And they're not even paying attention, like what that affected, how that affected them. Being so counterproductive. You know, I want to get into everything you have cooking, but I also want to talk about your love for cycling, how long you've been doing it. I mean, to my understanding, you do a lot of, you know, cycling, like all the way up the coast and down.
Yep.
How long have you been cycling for?
Well, I mean, I had a bike when I was a little kid, so I guess I'm 27 now, so I've, you know, ridden a bike a little bit since 20 years ago, but I didn't really get into cycling until about 2 years ago is when I got passionate about it.
Committed to it.
Committed.
And started riding long distance.
Yep.
And doing it to condition yourself.
Yep. So what I did was I sat down and came up with all the pros and cons of owning a car, made a list. And the list of pros was like 5, and the cons to owning a car was about 15 or 20. And looking at those lists, I was like, I can't keep this car. One of the biggest cons is that it cost me $7,000 a year. So I sold my car for 10 grand, bought a bike, a nice bike for a grand. And now I bike everywhere I go. And the great thing is I don't need a gym membership. I don't need to exercise. Exercising doesn't exist in my life because my life is exercise.
It's installed in your daily routine to get from point A to point B. So that's one pro.
Yep.
Everything that's attached to a car, you know, the maintenance, the registration, all that stuff. I mean, it's completely erased.
Yep.
You don't have to deal with that no more.
When I go out of
town. And you save money.
Tons of money. When I go out of town, I don't have stuff to worry about, you know. It's great.
Right. Or like, oh, I got to leave town. I got this parking spot in front of my place. I got to move it. I got to move my car. It's like, what am I going to do? Like, that doesn't exist.
Yep.
So it's kind of funny because I don't think a lot of people actually refer to their car as clutter. Because, you know, when you're living in clutter, it kind of disrupts you.
Yep.
I think a car is a big component of clutter, cluttering someone's life.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? And it's so funny because we have a red line subway that the MTA provides from downtown Union Station to, like, Universal City by Universal Studios. And if you get off from, say, for example, Hollywood, like the heart of Hollywood, and look at the 101 freeway, like, it's always jam-packed.
Yeah.
And everyone's just sitting there in a car like, and even the surface street is not like jam-packed. You can just take the streets back to downtown. It's like, why are you getting on the 101? It's like monkey see, monkey do.
Yep.
And no one's putting, and that right there is a thread that relates to your statement saying how people would just park, pay $12 or $15, and that's like an hour out of their life just to park their car.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Everyone's like in this weird fog, like doing weird things with their car.
It is a fog, and when you get out of that fog, it feels really good.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me about some of the, well, obviously you have a huge love for cycling, and when did you commit and say, look, I'm going to get rid of my car, and I'm going to start using a bike as my local transportation?
It was, I think, March of 2012, so it's been about a year and a half now.
Okay.
And it was pretty quick. I mean, like I said, I looked at the facts and I looked at how much money I was spending. Just 3 years ago, I did a tour around the world. I visited Africa, Asia, and Europe. And I was gone for 5 months and I just did so many amazing things. I was in the jungles of Borneo with orangutans. I was with the Komodo dragons in Indonesia. I got to roam with lions and giraffes in Africa and go to northern Sweden, the land of eternal light in the summer. That cost $7,000. Or I could have owned a car for a year.
Exactly. I mean, that's the translation.
Yep. So all that experience I got of just seeing the world. And so I've chosen to spend my money on things that I think add value to my life.
Quality of life.
Quality and can add value to other people's life as well.
I mean, the whole thing is super positive. And I know attached to this positivity is the health factor. I mean, you're exercising every day. You're conditioning yourself. You're strengthening, you know, you're not only your mind by being free and absorbing what you see around you without the metal confines of a car.
Yep.
But you're also, you know, exercising your body. So it's this duality that you're constantly progressing, mind and body and spirit.
Yep.
Probably because you're being inspired by all this.
It's very inspirational.
Right?
And it also changes when you decide to not drive anymore. It changes a lot of aspects of your life. For example, one thing I always wanted to do was go local, start shopping locally and mm-hmm. eating locally. And when you don't have a car, that just kind of becomes your way of doing things. Now, I used to go to Walmart and buy all sorts of crap I didn't need. I don't have a car, so I don't do it anymore. Now I go to the co-op down the street, and it forces you to do a lot of the things that you want to do anyway.
And you brought up a key example. Like, I mean, look, the masses go to Walmart. Doesn't mean they're bad people.
Yep.
I just think that when you add it up, even where you shop, it gets very disheartening when you figure out what you're supporting.
Yeah.
You know, what these companies do to people.
Yep.
how things are very unfair.
Yep.
And that's a whole nother conversation. But I just think like the trickle down effect, speaking of trickle down effects, it's like, you know, you get rid of your car. And through me, for me, one thing that inspires me is when I take public transportation in a city I grew up in for the last decade and see between the buildings, you just like connect with every little crevice.
Yeah.
And I call Los Angeles the new Los Angeles because to me it's a new city.
Okay.
Because it's through the eyes of a bus rider.
Yep.
You know, I have a new
seeing
perspective
it from a new
of
perspective,
it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you have to drive here to go here, but no, it's like, let's take, you know, let's take two subways to go to Long Beach.
Yep.
You know, let's take this little weird shuttle that takes you through like these little side streets in Long Beach and to get to the Queen Mary. It's like, wow, I never knew this existed.
Yep.
You know, and there's so many great things that you could do and take public transportation to, which would eliminate any headache in traffic. It would eliminate parking, gas money. But also, while you're approaching these destinations via public transportation, you're seeing the city through a new perspective. You're connecting.
Yep.
You're seeing new things. Therefore, you're being inspired and you're in spirit.
Yep.
And I think that's a trickle-down effect. Like, once you have that feeling of doing good, you kind of subconsciously say, you know what? I don't want to go to Walmart.
Yep.
I don't want to, you know, I'd rather walk to that little co-op or that farmer's market with these people that work hard, these nice people that work hard to grow these great vegetables are selling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, one thing I want to ask you is when you did that trip to Africa and Sweden, I mean, was all this in the same trip or was it separate trips that you did?
That was a around the world trip. And
wow.
I visited four continents and about 15 countries. So that was one trip. I've done a lot of different trips, but that was all one awesome 5 months of my life.
That's great.
And now, the cool thing, I mean, I think one of the best things you can do with your money is travel. If you have a desire to become a more understanding, compassionate human, because by going out there in the world and seeing that so much beyond you exists and so much beyond your country and realizing how little America actually means in the grand scheme of things. And on top of that, how little you actually mean. Now, I don't mean that an individual doesn't mean something because one individual can change the entire
right.
world.
Everyone's a component.
Yeah. But when you realize that you're just one small, tiny part of this magnificent earth, it humbles you and it gives you a much stronger desire to protect it and to be a good part of it. So I think one of the best things that a human could do is to get outside their comfort zone and see other parts of the world. And like one thing, for example, I've seen dozens and dozens of different religions in my travels and realizing now there's 4,000 religions on this earth. Why should any one be right over any of the other 3,999? And so by seeing that diversity, it gets you to start thinking, all right, you know, everybody's got their different viewpoints. These are all man-made or human-made creations. Things are
right.
made up in our mind.
Human ideals.
Yep. So.
Wow. I mean, just that is so inspiring because, you see, by touching new soil, all that gets triggered off.
Yep.
And so what you mean going back and saying, you know, it's humbling, like, was there ever a time where when you were in the middle of this world trip and being out there with the wild animals and the dragons and all that,
yeah.
just kind of saying like, you know what? Celebrity news? like that exists?
Yeah.
The news is reporting
yep.
on Kim Kardashian and other celebrities about what they're buying to
yep.
wear.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an extreme.
Yep.
Being in Africa, running with the wild animals. I mean, what kind of animals?
Oh, lions
yeah.
and giraffes and rhinos and elephants.
I mean, when you do one extreme to another, you really take a step back and probably just think it's nonsense.
It is a whole bunch of human-made nonsense. But what's really great about that on the flip side is that what I think is really cool is that these celebrities have the power to change the world with one tweet or one Facebook message or one action. And so I am really inspired at the idea of celebrities starting to make an effort to use that status to create a better earth.
And
I think
that far reach they have.
The far reach, exactly. If one famous person tomorrow said, hey, I use reusable bags when I go to the grocery store. They could literally make millions of people stop using plastic bags and start using reusable bags by talking about positive, inspirational things. And I think that a lot of people are catching on, and I can see that starting to happen more, which is great. But I think...
They'd be more mindful.
Yeah. Just, yeah, using what they have for good.
Now I think, I think that's key. I mean, you know, talking about celebrity status, I mean, with technology and celebrityism, the reach is like super far. I mean, they can influence so many people through this country with one 30-second tweet, right? Now, I think that probably inspires you to try to reach out to some of these people and get them involved in maybe what you're involved in.
That's the idea.
Yeah. Let's talk about your contest.
Okay.
Okay, so this is on Facebook, right?
It's on Facebook.
Tell us about it.
So I just started a new adventure series. It's called Change the World with Rob Greenfield.
And awesome.
The idea is always, to me, actions speak louder than words. I love to talk. I love to be on this show with you right now. But when I leave here, I got to get out and do something, whether it's hang out, feed people on the streets or clean up some trash. Do things every day that will make other people feel better and make yourself feel better at the same time. I've learned it's nearly impossible to be selfless. So if you do something good and make someone smile, you're going to smile too. So you're going to benefit from it. But anyway, so I'm starting this adventure series, and the idea is to get people involved. So each trip I go on, I'll post it on Facebook. People can make a comment, and then whoever gets the most likes, I choose from those top 10 people to actually get to go on a free trip with me, a free adventure that will... And the idea is the adventures focus on health, happiness, and sustainability. So I can bring in one everyday average person and say, you know, I'm a crazy dude myself a little bit. Some people are like, well, that's Rob Greenfield. You know, of course he can do that. It's right. Rob. So I am a human. Anyone can, what I've learned is humans, every human is amazing at birth. It's just a question of whether or not you choose to continue to be amazing and to show that. But everybody is born with the exact same blank slate. So anyway, I'll bring one everyday average person on each of these adventures, and then people can vote on what adventures we'll have within. So, for example, one day the focus will be on food, and they can choose either A, we have to dumpster dive for lunch, B, eat at local farm stands, or C, get our food from a farm and actually go pick it. So the adventures will teach different things, food waste, eating local, eating organic. And so these crazy adventures will teach different aspects of health, happiness, and sustainability. And that's the idea.
That's, how could you not admire that? You know, I mean, it's just pure goodness. And you're actually, I think, you know what? What you're doing is extremely priceless. You can't put a price tag on it because your time and showing people how to use this.
Yep.
I mean, you care that much. And like, you want to like affect, like you said, if you could affect one person, you know,
it's
that's a ripple effect. That's awesome.
Yep.
Let's talk about the average amount of trash that humans waste.
Yeah.
Let's go into that. I mean, I know you know all these statistics and that's why you're practicing that exercise, because there's a huge ratio, right?
Huge. So I started to learn this because this summer I did a tour across America called Off the Grid Across America, and I biked from San Francisco to Vermont, 4,700 miles over 100 days to inspire Americans to start living a happier, healthier lifestyle. And so what I did is I led by example, and that's what I always intend to do, is lead by example. So I had a set of rules. I can go through those real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, so any trash I created, I had to carry all the way across America with me. So 104 days without using a garbage can. Water, I had to get my water from local sources. So rivers, lakes, streams, rain. And then, or I could get water from leaky sources that would have gone to waste. Leaky fire hydrants, leaky faucets. Food, 100% locally grown, organic, and unpackaged, or food that was going to waste. So Trader Joe's dumpster bananas, for example.
Is that the hot ticket for bananas?
I don't know. Everywhere throws away bananas. And then I had to shop only at businesses that practice corporate social responsibility. And only could use my own power to get myself across the country. So couldn't even use public transportation on my days off. Bike or walk.
Wow.
And then lastly... I can't remember the last one right now. I had to only use electricity that I created myself. So I couldn't plug into outlets, turn on light switches. Couldn't even, I couldn't have been in studio with you for the summer. I couldn't walk past an automatic door that would open up or use an escalator. So I could only use electricity I created myself. So one of the things was trash. So I managed in 104 days to create just 2 pounds of trash. And the average American creates 4.5 pounds per day. So about 200 times less trash than the average American.
So the average American makes 4 pounds a day.
4.5.
4.5.
San Diego, it's more like 6.5.
Really?
So
do you know why?
I don't know what it is, but San Diego is a very wasteful place. The average American uses 80 to 100 gallons of water per day. San Diego is a desert, and we use 133. So what we have less of, we use more of by taking it from Northern California and the Colorado River. So these big ditches that run through L.A. that you guys call rivers, that water goes down to San Diego.
From the north.
Yep. So the average American uses about 100 gallons of water per day, and I used 160 to bike across America and then some. So a 2-day supply of water is what I used to bike across America.
104 days.
104 days. So I used, I think about 50 times less water than the average American, 1,000 times less electricity, and 600 times less fuel in over the trip.
That's admirable. I mean, as far as the trash issue, once you were done and you saw how much trash you mindfully created,
yep,
that had to be a total, there had to be a reaction after that. Like, God, how come no one cares?
Yeah.
I think there's so many distractions that people don't really even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Well, the reason is because America's made this country a very convenient and easy place to live. So they have set up these systems so that you don't have to think about it. You put your trash in the trash bin, it gets taken away, and there's no need to think about it. And so, but they want things that way here in America because someone who doesn't think is an easier person to handle.
Control,
exactly. And so the easier things are and the more convenient they are, it means the less thinking needs to be done and the more control that they can have over the people. So convenient, one of the most important things I've ever learned in life is when something is convenient, ask yourself, where is this convenience coming from? And you start to learn that when something's easy, the burden is being placed somewhere else. There's for every positive, there's a negative. Everything balances on this earth. So if a job, let's say, for example, driving, the only thing you have to do is move your ankle a slight bit and it'll get you going 60 miles per hour, that's really easy compared to biking or walking.
Completely easy, right?
So you got to think, so why is this so easy? And you start to realize, well, the burden is being placed on the environment via pollution from the car. You've got the oil that has to be pulled up from the ground, and that's making people work on the other side of the world. War is being created over oil, and the pollution that it creates locally, just the people who have to breathe it on the streets and the plants and the animals that suffer from it. So that's an example where it's so convenient. You know that there's a lot of burden being placed elsewhere. But everything you do where you realize there's an extreme amount of convenience, you start to realize that the convenience is being taken from someone else.
Right. So it truly is a trickle-down effect. The action of convenience creates a reaction of inconvenience somewhere else.
Yep.
It's not just total, flowers and sunshine. It's going to affect somebody.
It's going to affect somebody. Right. And so I've chosen to live a life that positively affects others. And if I know that I'm going to be placing a burden on someone, I'm going to try not to. So it starts to, you know, it starts to change the way you live your life. Like when I go to a restaurant and someone comes out and they're constantly pouring me water and asking me if I need things, it's like, I can do this stuff myself, you know? And there's a certain balance.
Right.
There's a certain balance where we're humans and we like to do things for each other. But we definitely live in this society that desires and craves convenience and easiness. But once you start to take your life back and do things for yourself, it's extremely rewarding. You learn to problem solve. You learn to be resourceful. And you learn to live with a lot less. And the less you need, the more time you have to do what you actually want to do and spend the time with the people that you actually want to be with.
That's pretty prolific, actually. What's your college education back like or background like? Do you have any?
Yeah, I went to school at University of Wisconsin, La Crosse, for biology and aquatic science. So I was always passionate about the outdoors growing up. I spent most of my time catching frogs, going fishing, just trying to get out in nature, and I loved it. In high school, I remember I went fishing like 160 times a year sometimes. So I just love to be out in nature. And now I don't fish too much because I don't do too much harm to other creatures. But for me then it was, I just like to get close to
nature.
And fishing was, you could catch it. So you could be really close and admire the fish.
Yeah, put bait on it, cast it out, yep. You know. So have you had a lot of time in the ocean?
Yeah.
I love the ocean. I love going to like the aquarium of the Pacific. I love watching shark shows. And
yeah.
I don't look at sharks as being dangerous. I look at them as just being an amazing creature.
They're amazing.
Right?
Yep.
And it's like, so I'm like, I just, you know, all the different types of sharks and, you know, yeah, they have this ability, but I don't look at them as being dangerous. Like, what are your thoughts?
Well, here's my thought. So it's absurd to be scared of sharks. And here's why. I believe that there's 100 shark attacks worldwide per year. There's 7 billion people. Now, I don't know what the ratio is, but that's pretty low.
That is very low.
And think about how many people get in the water each year and how many times they get in the water per year. It's billions of entries into the water with only 100 people being attacked per year. And I think it's no more than 10 fatalities per year. So of all shark attacks, I think 10%. Less than 10% are fatal. So we've been seeing great whites here in Venice and Manhattan Beach.
Very close in the LA shore.
And people are making such a big deal about it. It's the ocean. Sharks are supposed to be there.
It's like, yeah, it's like, well, that's where they live.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? I mean, what's the...
And
I'm not a marine biologist.
How many people die? I, you know, some people might think of this as not very nice, but how many people die each day on the interstate? I don't know the statistic, but it's tons. And how many people die via shark attacks? Very few. So if people die from a shark attack here and here, that's natural. We do live on a natural earth, and humans are an animal just like every other creature.
Animal.
Yeah. And that's one of the greatest things I've learned. I used to think that humans were the most superior creature on this earth.
Before you started traveling and thinking.
And realizing, yeah.
And that was one of the things that you realized that humbled you, like in Africa and these other places.
Yeah.
Like in the big scope of things.
Humans are one of the billion or million species that are on this earth. And we are, in many ways, we are the most superior creature. We obviously have the most intelligent capabilities and the ability to create tools and the ability to live a complex life. In many ways, we are the most superior creature. In many ways, we're also the most inferior. The fact that we need a tool to do every single thing, we can't even use we can't go to the bathroom without a special seat or some toilet paper. We can't get anywhere without a bike or a car. We get lost without our cell phone. So in many ways, we're actually the most inferior creature on Earth because we are pretty darn... We've created a pretty darn helpless species. So I've learned that, you know, every creature has its purpose on this earth, and we're all here for a reason, and no one creature is better than the other. The mosquito is born with the need to suck blood in order to have life.
It's designed, right?
If you were born a mosquito, you'd have to suck blood to live. And that's just who they are. That's what they are. Exactly.
It's like it's just doing what it's supposed to do.
Yep.
Created from whatever source we believe created it.
Yep.
It's living, and that's what it does.
Yep.
So people get so like disgusted by it.
Yeah, totally.
And it's like, well, you eat McDonald's. That's pretty disgusting.
Yeah,
you
really.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, just an example.
Yeah, totally. So, it really comes down to just realizing that humans are not the only things on this planet. And if we can all take everything into consideration, we're doing it, doing things, it'll be a healthier place to live. And again, it's not like instantly you can just start doing that. It takes time and it takes understanding, but when you start to think of things beyond yourself, I've never known anyone to not be happier when they started to live a life that's more about others than themselves.
Right. What are your thoughts on like diet? I mean, I know you're very into cycling. Are you vegetarian, vegan?
I'm not strictly vegetarian or vegan. I basically try to eat as much of a plant-based diet as I possibly can. So focus on fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, seeds, and then, just keeping things whole. So what I would call it is a whole food plant-based diet. So if it looks like it came from the earth, eat it. If it doesn't, you know, if it's highly processed and in packages, don't. It's a pretty easy way of eating because there's thousands of different whole foods out there, and there's so much diversity in that food world that there's no shortage of things that you can eat. So basically, whole foods, plant-based, and then I try to eat local. And especially here in California, we are the most blessed of all states. We can produce everything we need, and there's no need to purchase a single food item that doesn't come from within our own state. So I definitely am a huge advocate of eating local, shopping at farmers markets or the local co-op, and buying unpackaged goods. Because one thing that's, you know, interesting to me is, so you eat a bag of potato chips.
Yeah.
So it takes, what, 5 minutes to eat a bag of potato chips? And then that bag is going to be here for 1,000 years afterwards, just so you could eat for 5 minutes, enjoy some chips that aren't even actually that nutritious.
Right.
So 1,000 years from now or 500 years from now, there's still going to be a plastic bag on this earth. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, convenience,
mm-hmm.
right? I want that bag of chips now for 99 cents, and I'm going to open it and stuff my face with it, and it's going to hold me over.
Exactly.
But it's like, okay, what's this affecting? That's what I learned from you right now.
I mean,
now I'm thinking, okay, well, it's going to be here for 500 years.
Yeah, 500 to 1,000.
I mean, that's the minimum 500 years. It just doesn't make sense.
Yep. So that means when you, if you choose to have kids, when your kids are on this earth, that plastic bag will still be here.
I'm telling you. I mean, you know, getting back to ocean life, have you like done a lot of free swimming in the oceans? I know you're athletic and you do a lot. Have you done a lot of that?
I love swimming. I've snorkeled all over the world, and I've gotten myself pretty far out into the ocean all on my own, sometimes on a paddleboard, but there's been times when I've gone out snorkeling for 5 hours out on reefs and came back.
Great whites.
I've never seen great whites, but black tips and white tips, and they're usually under 5 feet. But when I see one of those, I'll try to swim with it as long as I can. Because, you know, a 5-foot shark is scary to someone who hasn't been around them. But once you start
to get near them, they're about as long, just a little shorter than you.
Yeah, so it's a pretty big
creature.
They
could put up a fight.
Yeah. But a 5-foot shark is unlikely to attack. And if it does, it's probably going to get a chunk of your calf. So it's not a huge deal.
Right. It's not going to bite a leg off or anything.
So I've always had a bit of a fear of being out in the ocean.
Did you?
And what I've learned is that you're scared of what you don't know. It's hard to be comfortable with anything that you've never done before, whether it be a sport or whether it be a subject in school or speaking on the radio. If you haven't done these things before, you're going to be a little scared of them and anxious. But by any anything you do, you become more comfortable with it. So with driving, at one time, there was a bit of fear to be behind the wheel. Now you can do it while drinking a soda, eating potato chips, and talking on your cell phone because you're so used to it. So no matter what it is, there's a slope that it takes to get into things. And slippery slopes can be good or they can be not so great. But so, for example, with living an earth-friendly lifestyle, it was a slope. I started with small things like biking more or shopping at the local farmer's market or just simple things, unplugging things from the walls so that they
in
weren't
the house
using
or
electricity.
Whatever, yeah.
Simple things, and it just became something I was used to, and now it's just a way of life that I'm completely used to.
What are your stand, or where do you stand on, like, you know, the whole solar power market, you know, for or solar panels? I'm sorry. Are you subscribing to a lot of that in your life?
Well, this summer, so I used purely alternative energy devices to bike across America. So mostly solar panels, and it was a great experience being able to harness my energy from the sun. It feels good. Now, one of the most important lesson that I got from that is if you want to be able to sustain yourself off of alternative energy, the best thing you can do is reduce your energy consumption so that you don't have to produce as much. So the less you need, the easier it will be to be self-sufficient. And really, I think that's the best solution is to need less, because all of us are consuming, even myself, more than we actually need. The less you need, the easier it will be. So, I mean, alternative energy, in my mind, it's a no-brainer. It's extremely important. We have the technology. And if we focused our efforts more on that technology rather than focusing on trying the 1% trying to become even more billionaires through fossil fuels. If we focused our energy on that, the whole world would be running on alternative energy. It's just that that's not what the power to be is choosing to do.
Exactly. And it seems like, you know, the example that you brought in mid-show saying that, you know, if you're barely touching a gas pedal and your car is going 60, 70 miles per hour, also think about what's inconvenience getting that oil or gas from the earth.
Yep.
All that work and industrial strength tools.
Yep.
Like drilling and raping the earth.
It takes a lot of energy.
Just to get oil, you know, to run cars.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of counterproductive in intention, but obviously in the dollar value, it has a lot of value.
Yeah.
You know, for those people, that's why they do it. The 1%.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, I'm going to start using a simple mindful task like that. Like, okay, this is convenient, but what is it affecting?
Yep.
I mean, if people could just kind of refer to that, I think that could go a long way for someone to morph into better habits.
Yep.
Getting rid of your bad habits and forming new habits. What do you think?
I don't think a single person listening to this right now wants to do harm to anybody else. Maybe there's like 5 crazy people out there that want to do harm, but nobody wants to hurt people really.
Intentionally, whether it's their feelings or physically, you know?
And so I feel like most people have this mindset where what they don't know doesn't hurt them. And so whatever, it's out of sight, out of mind. So maybe people are being killed on the other side of the world because of my need for fuel, but I don't see it, so it doesn't matter. But when you start to live a more conscious lifestyle and you realize, okay, I'll put it bluntly, when you are supporting the oil industry, you are supporting the death of people all over the world. And that's harsh, but it's true, because it is doing that, because our wars are a big part of it's for oil. I mean, that's a reality.
That's
a fact. It's a reality if you pay attention and you look at things. So by being a part of that, you know, you got to take, realize that you are part of it. And if you don't want to be a part of it, then don't anymore.
Right. I mean, you know what's funny too, just being so immersed in LA culture here, you know, a lot of people don't realize, speaking about, you know, automobiles and the components to drive one, oil and gas, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, just taking our underground subway, you could go to all the nightlife destinations to go see bands play or anything else.
Yep.
You know what I mean? At all these landmarks, whether they're big theaters or venues or to see a play or bands. And, you know, exactly what you said, out of sight, out of mind. I talk to people. I say, oh, where are you going? They'll say, you know, the Pantages Theater. I'm like, well, take the subway. It drops you off right across the street. Oh, I'll just drive.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you do that to yourself? You know, like, you know, I mean, if you're going out, you know, one example is, you know, it would cost you $1.50 each way if you don't have a monthly pass.
Yep.
Okay. Parking's $20. Already $20. If you're making $10 an hour, it's two hours of work to park your car.
A lot of time.
Or 3 hours.
Yep.
And then on top of that, you know, you're if you drink, then you're driving.
Oh, yeah.
If those people are having some drinks, they're driving.
Yeah,
that's
I can't say I've never done that. You know, when you have a car and you're drinking, it's just something that most everybody I know has done it at one point or another. But
right.
You are taking a serious risk there.
Yeah, especially in California with DUIs and so forth.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, I think what you said was key, and I wanted to touch on that. I mean, what people don't know won't hurt them.
Yep.
And it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yep.
And it takes a while for them to get into a rhythm, you know. One question I had that I was amazed about was, while in Africa and you were, you know, side by side with lions and very close.
Yep.
I mean, that must be humbling to see a creature that could literally tear you to shreds.
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
Yeah, definitely. Although, you know, one of the moments that I look back at as one of the best moments of my entire life, I was deep back in the bush, hadn't seen anyone else almost for the entire day. I just had rented a little Toyota Corolla or something like that. And I was back on this two-track path, and I come down into this valley, and there's giraffes all over the valley. And I get out, and I get on top of my car, and I just lay there, and between one and three at a time, just slowly walk across the road right in front of me. And I just sat on top of my car, like on the verge of tears, just in this utter bliss, feeling like I was in this whole different world all on my own. And it was like I was with the dinosaurs or something. It was just the most amazing feeling.
Kind of elevated you spiritually or mentally, right? I mean, just kind of taking it all in and seeing these animals move.
Yeah, getting in touch with nature like that really does, it changes the way you think about things, definitely. And one thing that I've always thought is, the more it's with anyone, whether it's surfers or snowboarders or skiers, mm-hmm. the more time they spend in the great outdoors, usually the greater their desire is to protect it. And that seems to be a natural thing that I see in the human race, is when people actually get connected and see how wonderful the different biomes of this earth are, the more of a desire they have to make sure that it's going to be there in the next generations.
Yeah, pass it along.
Yep.
Pay it forward. I think that's important.
Yep.
You know?
So what you said about the burden thing, out of sight, out of mind, and if what you don't know doesn't hurt you. But the thing is, that mindset is hurting us greatly because, for example, the smog in LA, that's created by our mindset of it being out of sight, out of mind. But it's not
because it's
really
easy.
It's like you think that you're not a part of that smog, but if you drive, you're a part of that smog. It's that simple. So our out of sight, out of mind mindset is actually creating our problems that are encircling the entire earth by having that mindset. That's what creates the problems that are country and worldwide.
So instead of acknowledging the issues and facing them forward, kind of just pretending they're not there,
yep.
that creates a huge problem.
Yep.
Just like anything in life.
Yep.
Right? I mean, you know, you got to, you know, some people just ignore things and let it get worse or whatever, or keep doing something.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually if you ignore those things and like if you've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you guys have this issue, if you never talk about that issue, it's usually just going to get a lot worse. And it applies to the environment as well. By not confronting the issue, it's just going to continue getting worse.
With your knowledge, with statistics and just really good common sense and intuition. What do you think is a big problem in Los Angeles as far as, you know, you being an eco-advocate?
Yeah.
What do you think is the worst thing? I mean, is it the smog?
You mean like the actual, the worst environmental issue that is? It's tough to say any one exact thing. I work with this nonprofit in San Diego that focuses on sustainability, and the best word of advice I've ever gotten from them is that there is no one-size-fits-all solution to any of our environmental issues. And it's just that simple. There's not one thing we can do that will fix the world. We can't ban plastic bags to create a lack of plastic. It takes a little of everything to solve the issues that we have. And so it's hard for me to narrow down just one thing. And the other thing I've learned is everything is connected. So earlier in my life, I was, you could say, focused on environmental issues, but not social issues.
It's all connected.
And so is political issues.
It's everything, a trickle-down effect,
yeah,
right?
Everything goes hand in hand. So really, you have to look at everything to understand it and go at things with a resourceful, in a resourceful manner. There is no equation to solving things. It comes down to us waking up and just living lives by example that won't have these negative effects.
Not opening a textbook and saying, okay, this equals this and this will be solved. It's more like, okay, let's get up and be proactive.
Yep.
Let's actually devote time and care about it enough to make it a priority.
Yep. And the textbooks are great, though, because you have to understand the issues in the first place. So the biggest thing for me to get into this transformation was reading a lot of books and watching a lot of documentaries. So what's Netflix costs? Like $7.99 a month?
Yeah.
But the education you can gain from Netflix...
from watching great content.
...is amazing. There's so much great content on there. And so those documentaries and those books really woke me up. And then it was a matter of acting on the knowledge that I got from it. So Netflix can't make you act, but it sure as heck can give you a lot of good information. So
what were some of the, as far as influential documentaries that you would like to, you know, share and, you know, advise people to see?
Yeah. Well, a short film, there's a nonprofit called The Story of Stuff. Have you heard of those guys?
No.
So they have a series of films, but one of their videos is called The Story of Stuff. It was their first one, and it shows you how things are created from start to finish. So what natural resources, the human beings that are affected along the product line, and then manufacturing, retail, and then what happens to it when you're done with it. So the disposal of it, the landfills, the pollution
so
that
from
it creates.
Inception to the human being done.
Yep. And then even like, you know, clothing, you got to take into account when you create clothing, if it's easy to wash or hard to wash, if it's going to use a lot of resources to be able to wash it. So anyway, The Story of Stuff, 15-minute film. They have a handful. They also have The Story of Cosmetics. And these things will help you understand where everything in your life comes from and how it's created and give you a much better understanding. So I would highly recommend that. Not one particular book or documentary really sticks out, but, you know, some of the ones were the ones that taught me about GMOs. So, and then the other ones that taught me, about the industrial farming industry. Food Inc., I think, is one of those, and realizing what's in that food.
Wow.
Those were a couple of them. I think King Corn was another one, learning that corn is in like 90% of the things on the shelves in the grocery store.
Really?
But the simple solution to that is if you shop on the edges of the grocery stores, you can pretty much stick to the healthier food. So it's the
produce.
Aisles. Yeah, produce. Everything on the edges is typically going to be a lot healthier than the stuff in the middle because that's all the packaged, processed stuff.
They trap you in the middle.
Yep. So the grocery store industry is a pretty crazy industry, the way they place products.
Product placement.
Exactly. So I don't remember all the documentaries I watched, but it just... I just watched ones that were entertaining and educational at the same time. So I would highly recommend watching a lot of documentaries and reading some books.
Right. No, that's, I mean, that's a good way to get involved, I think.
Yep.
You know, okay, so before we go, let's talk about your website. Why don't you plug that?
Okay. Yeah, sure. It's robgreenfield.tv.
Right.
And it's a place where I put a lot of my adventures. There's a blog on there that teaches happy, healthy, sustainable living, and my whole mission is to inspire a happier, healthier Earth, and do that via humans and, you know, helping humans to live a healthier life themselves and live a life that's better for the Earth, better for their community, and better for themselves. So it's robgreenfield.tv. You can go to facebook.com/robjgreenfield, and that's where I post a lot of stuff. And it's all about just being a human. Love. Emotions, food, everything. It's just about being a human being.
That's awesome. And instruct people how to enter your contest again.
Okay, so if you just go to robgreenfield.tv, the contest is right there on the homepage right now. It'll take you to the Facebook picture. And then all you have to do if you want to be entered for a chance to win is post your comment there, get your friends to vote for you, and I get to choose from the top 10. And then make sure to stay tuned on the adventure. We'll be flying to Cabo December 5th for 1 week. And each day we'll have a different theme in happiness, health, and sustainability where you can get involved and vote on what you want to see us doing.
Very cool. And that's a wrap. Thanks for being a part of the 82nd episode of Los Angeles Nista. I appreciate it. And have a great day.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much, Eddie.